Shabbos was noticed all the signs around Yeshiva, and this is the Yin Shabbos. This is the first series of Yin Shabbos that the Yetzer Y in conjunction with the Beats faculty is sponsoring. And we urge everybody to study it. Among the various highlights of the Shabbos will be a Shabbos given by me. I'm sorry. Everybody's invited to attend. Okay. This week's biblical portion is Parshas Vayishlach. Parshas Vayishlach is a very key pasuk that plays an important role in all of our lives. It's not Samad Din, it's a whole Hashkafa. Pasuk says that when Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the funny Mitzeso, he says, "Oh, I'm so thrilled to see you, Kiros Panei Elokim." He's excited like he sees Malachim, or like he sees Elokim, like he sees Elokim. But he really so thrilled to see Esav, like being the Kaval Panei Ashkina. What kind of baloney is he telling you? But his mother says, "Sir, from the count, this pasuk arrives to the middle of the Hakim. The Hakim is showing by the mother. But it's a mystical to count that he's showing." Can I just point out that this is not to be understood, because the whole Gemara in Taito has a whole Omer Gemara, an Omer and a half Gemara, but the Gemara keeps on quoting one memory after the other, and Raisis, and Tanoim, and Nebet, and Amroim. There is an Itzach Hanifo, also a Hachnif is showing. It's forbidden to give the guy a pat on the back. Say somebody, a Jew is married to a Shiksman, he comes to Yeshiva University, gives $2 million to name a school or something, whatever. And he does all kinds of these things. So we pat him on the back and we say it's wonderful, it's great to make a dinner in his honor, and you have a mechaber him, he stands up. But if you mechaber him, and it means that, and you encourage him, wonderful, a great guy, and give a whole speech in his honor, it means that you're saying that he's a nice guy and he's wonderful, and he should keep on doing what he's doing. And among the various things that he's doing are obvious averus. Not dumb that he carries his handkerchief in his pocket on Shabbos in the air in Manhattan. Something like that. Or he has the guy take him up in the elevator on Shabbos and he's on the 50th floor in his building or something like that. There's obvious guys married to a shiksa. Obvious things. The guy doesn't go to shul all year long, doesn't daven, doesn't like film, doesn't do anything. So if you machabit such a person, that's what the Gemara has a whole sugya that that's an issa. Also the hachna for sure. That if one comes with a rosha, one is mechaber at Russia in such a way that it implies that we hold from you that you're an Adam Nichbod, then that's a violation of the din. It's not an outright violation, but it's a partial violation of the din of Lifnei Vele Sikhe Mirshal. The actual Lifnei Vele Sikhe Mirshal means if I lead a person to sin, here the person is sinning on his own. He's going to sin whether I pat him on the back or not. But the fact that I pat him on the back and I make a dinner in his honor and so on and so forth, where I give him shlishi and shul, I give him a nice aliyah, and I don't tell him anything about the fact that he's doing obvious averus, that means that I'm being maskim to his averus, that I'm telling him that there's nothing wrong, because he'll never have a hirat tshuva. So that's a chelik of the din of lifnei iver l'asita mishul. It's not the outright isa lifnei iver, but it's an abizrayu, it's has a shaitas for that din. The Gemara says how terrible it is, and the Gemara says from the three kifin, from the three groups of people who are not in the Kabbalah Pnei Ashkina, and all the members of the Katchan Eifim, and then the Rabbeinu Yerna has in the Shari Tshuva such a long, Arichas on the Yisda Chanifah, and then the Gemara comes to the conclusion at the end of all Sugya, with the Yerach and Yayk Mavim, and Muta Lahachna Chushan Bolam Azeh, because when he met his brother Esau, who was a Rosh Merusha, who was Boal Eishav Sishin, and he married Shiksis, and he was led with Abed Zorim, and he was a murderer, and everything under the sun. Abed Zorim, Gilarash, Yechazdomim, and everything else, from A to Z, so he says, "Oh, I'm so thrilled to see you, Kiros Pnei Elokim, back in the thing." Like Hakvalos Pnei Ashkina. Oh, I'm so happy to see you, my dear brother. He wanted to. What kind of story? So Tosfos says that Kasha. How does that line fit in with the whole sugya that preceded it? It's right after the whole sugya that gives the whole arichas on the Yisach Hanifah. So Tosfos explains based on the Gemara Nedarim that says that one of the Amoraim was traveling on the highway with a group of others. And then the Gemara describes that one person takes out a knife. He got angry at someone else, and takes out a knife and he murders. He stabs the other guy to death. And then he turns to the Amora and say, "What?" And he says to him, "What do you say? I murdered him. What do you say?" So the Amora was so terrified, he didn't know what to say. So he said, "Stick the knife in a few more times. Make sure that he's really dead." when he came to the yeshiva later, so he was nervous. He didn't know what to say. He's going to say, "What, you do a terrible thing, you're going to kill me." So he didn't know what to do. So he said, "Make sure that he's dead, stick it in again." So when he came to the yeshiva, he started to worry. Maybe he violated the Easter of Chanifa L'Rishoy. He was machmas to Russia, like he's being masking to the fact that he killed a person. And he didn't tell him anything. So maybe he's going to kill more people. So the Gemara says, no. That Vato is not Shechah Yitzalfa. That if there's a machmas, a promise of Chosh, then it's Mutter. So Tosis says in Soto, and the Ram says on his own, but that's exactly what the Sugi means in Soto. The whole Sugi has a whole Arich of Dvaran from Tanayim and Amarayim, that there is an Issa Khalifa. Then on the last line, the Gemara says, Mutter Vahachna for Shoah Baron Azer, to contradict everything that preceded it. So Tosis and the Ram explain that this is the answer, that Mokhmus Hakonas Nefoshes, Hakonas Nefoshes, Lecha Kolotar Kula. Except Rabbi the Dark of the Rashi Chazam. So Sakonas Nefoshes, the Kuach Nefesh is Deche, the Easter of Lifnei Iver, so the Mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, so Deche the Easter of Chanifa, Easter Chanifa, so it's like Shari Spiritur, like the other 600 dependencies in the Torah, other than the three. But B'mokum Delechus Hakonas Nefoshes, when I don't think that my life is in danger, I don't think that anybody else's life is in danger, then you have the beginning of this figure that says that it's also Lahachna Fushan Bolam Azeh. So if you're interested, no finish. Oh, I mean, what's the finish that the Kuach Nefesh is Zerecha? Well, I might have thought that it's an Abizrai over his Pichat Shaham. One might have thought that it's an Abizrai with Sichat to pat him on the back for the murder act that he did. One might have thought that just like with Sichat, if you heard by Yavah, so perhaps the Abizrai with Sichat, go to your heart by Yavah, what opinion are you showing is like that? Shara Allah Ha'am Pas. And if you ask the Chidash of the Gemara, that there's no din your heart by Yavah and Abizrai, or that this is not an Abizrai? Of Ritzich. That's how the Balamor says. Balamor holds from the din of Abizrai, who the Balamor in Sanhedrin, or Ben Drak in Sanhedrin, that find in Gimel, but he says that Lifnei Iver is not an Abizrai. So the Maisa, this is very relevant in the way you lead your life. You have to be careful. People usually do the reverse. People don't have brains, so they usually do the reverse. Whenever it's nagia to raising money for yeshiva, whenever it's stam in a shul or something, so then they are machmas to Rishon. Whenever it's a matter of life and death, and all of a sudden they become big martyrs, and all of a sudden then they don't want to be machmas to Rishon. The din is just the reverse. The din is that you don't start up with the Rosh if there's a takanas nefashis. When you're not takanas, then you do start up. Not start up, then you're not machmas to Rosh. The din is just the reverse. They have in the newspapers that they tiny, the Israelis are angry at Lebanon, why the Lebanese government doesn't have a clear statement against the PLO. Why do they say that they go along with all the Arabs? What do they want them to say? Lebanon is doing what Tosfos said. Israel has a right to complain? Okay, but let's say if we would be the president of Lebanon, what would you do? Would you come to the United Nations and say that you support the Arabs, or would you say you support Israel? You say you support Israel, so they won't give you any money. So you won't have any money to keep. They'll kill you. The Arabs will kill you. So there's Sakonas Nefashis to the country in Lebanon. So it's Mutar Lahachna for sure. They're doing the right thing. In their matzav, they're doing the right thing. That's exactly what it is. Israel's also doing the right thing about complaining about it. They have a right to complain also? Okay. But that's exactly what the Gemara said. Khalifa to Rishon is one of the big problems in this world today because we have so many people who are not observant. They're not Rishon in the sense of the evil, wicked people, but they're not observant people. So this is a big issue. When and where is it permissible to be Machnas and Rishon and when not? The Pasuk describes the whole story about Yaakov Avinu when he was going back to Israel, he fought with the Malach, and because he broke his leg, he was limping. Gutzalei al yirechai. The Torah says, in order to remember that story, I came to the open of Israel was gidal noshim. We are forbidden from meeting a certain part of the leg. Sayach nerve. I'm not eating a certain part. That's called gidal noshim. So the Gemara has a comment that all animals are divided into three categories. You have the hema chayiv yok. You have certain halachas. It only applied to some and not others. For example, chelav. If the chelav only applied to the hema, it doesn't apply to chayav yok. The din of kisei adam is just the reverse. The mitzvah of kisei adam only applies to chayav yok and doesn't apply to the hema. This din of gidal nashim applies equally to the hema, the chayav, and doesn't apply to oath. However, the Gemara, that's how the Mishnah says. But the Mishnah explains why. Because the Chumash says, "I came to Israel with Gidanasha, Asher Al Kafa Yorech." The whole Gidanasha is the rest of the Gidanasha is Muta. only that part of the Gidan Arsha that's on the Kaf HaYerech is off. So the Mishnah says that the Kaf HaYerech means that the you have a bone, there are different bones in the leg that are connected. So when one bone connects with the other, the bottom bone has a round top, like this thing on top of the atom bomb, what do you call it?
Mushroom.
Huh? The mushroom. Looks like a mushroom on top. That's called a Kaf Ogul. It's Ogul on top. So the part of the Gidan Arsha that goes over the Kaf Ogul is also the rest of the Gidan Arsha that Mispashit Bishara Yerech, the Gemara says Mutman HaTorah, and it's also in the Rabban. So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, that the reason why Gidan Arsha only applies to Behemah V'chaya, doesn't apply to Oaf, is because Be'Oaf, it's not Ogul. So you can't really call it Asher HaKaf HaYerech. Hashem came to Behemah V'chaya, it is Ogul. This is the Mishnah. So the Gemara raises an interesting suffix regarding this Mishnah. What's the halacha if you have a behemoth chaya that's abnormal? It has a calf that's flat. It doesn't have an ogul. The calf is flat. Mm-hmm. What would be the din if you would have an oaf, which would have a calf that would be ogul?
Mm-hmm.
Lo plug is usually din in the rabbanon. Is usually lo plug. But here the Gemara is talking about a din deraisa. Lo plug rabbanon is an exera. When you have exera the rabbanon. So even in a situation where the time Xera doesn't apply, the Xera itself does apply.
If you have a thing
if you would have a pig
or a donkey, it's the same child.
If I have a gomel whose father and mother were both gemalim, both parents were gemalim, and it itself has mafreses parsa v'shosa shesa. So the din is that it itself is mutar, but it's also tita because it's yotzi min hatama. If the mother, if the nekeva that it was born from was traced, the ima didn't have mala gera mafres parsa. So whatever comes out of the ima, the milk that comes out, the cholov of the gomel could lay eggs, so the beitzim of the gomel, or the blood of the gomel, the milk of the gomel, whatever is developed and manufactured by that gemala, the mother, the nekeva, would be yotzi. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a gomel that has malagir mafres parsa, but it's a ben or a bas gimalo. It itself is a behemoth tahora, but it's also bachil because it's yetzvanos. What do you gain by saying that it's a behemoth tahora, but it's also anyway bachil? Means that it's trait. So what do we gain by splitting the hairs over here? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you are permitted to write tefillin on the parchment made from the skin of that animal. So the din is you're not permitted to use or behemoth tmeya for tefillin and mezuzahs and sefer Torah, but you're permitted to use or behemoth Torah from the bevis of treifus. Just because the animal is treif, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to use the skin, only if it's a mintom. So in the Pisrei Shulman, the other day he says that this is a mintor, just that it's a yoytzim in atom, yoytzim in aser, is aser, because the mother was a gemalos, so it'll be aser. But it's really a mintor. It's a different reason why it's aser. But anachanami, it depends on each individual animal, if it's malagir, malagir, malagir. So here the Gemara has a suffix, Rav Zera raises a suffix in Perigid Amasha. What would the din be if you have a oaf and the top of the Kaf HaYorech of that bottom bone where the Gid Amasha creates as well? There is a Gid Amasha in the oak. The only thing is that the Kaf, the top of the Kaf is not ogre. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if you have an oaf and it is ogre? What if you have the name of a chai and it's not ogre? So what's the Gemara's suffix? The suffix is along the lines that you started to say, when the halacha distinguishes between the name of a chai on the one hand, and over on the other hand, with respect to Gid HaNosh, not with respect to other dinim. Respect to other dinim depends, let's say. Akisi Adam clearly depends on Chayav Yov as opposed to Behem. And Chayav definitely depends on Behem as opposed to Chayav Yov. There's no doubt about that. And Dam is awesome in all three. Dam of Behem, Chayav Yov, all three is awesome. But the Shaila is regarding Gid HaNosh, the Mishnah doesn't say that it's just a pasuk that it's only noig with Behem of Chayav and it's not noig with Yov. Mishnah says, because Be'ov, There's no kafavol. So the Gemara raises the topic, does that really depend on each and every individual instance? Is it ogul or not? Whenever it's ogul, it's also ogul. No. Perhaps that's only the way the Torah is writing the din. But the din actually, it's not that it's a low flow. The din is that it depends on the min. It depends whether it's a min behem of a chayo or it's a min of. And whenever you have a min behem of a chayo, then it's aser. Whenever you have a min of, it's mutter. And the Alfusa from which we derive this principle that it's only knowing the behemoth of the chayim, not the oath, is the fact that it has to be ogul. But it's not that it really depends on ogul. Ogul is just a way to be malamed on, that's the Alfusa from the pasuk. You have a lot of times like that. A pasuk gives a Alfusa from a certain word, and then the halacha takes on a slightly different character that doesn't always follow the mocker from the chumash, doesn't always follow the Alfusa. That's the Gemara itself. And this is an Ibai the Leif Shita in the Gemara. Taisa is there on that parak that somehow ignores this Ibai the Leif Shita. Taisa is assumed that it's certainly a din of Nin. But just like Kisei Adam is a din that it's only Nohe Bimin Chayav Yof and not Bimin Behemah and the din Mitzvah and the Yisr of Chela. It's only Nohe Bimin not Bechayav Yof and the din of Rosh Yez Bino is only Nohe Bimin. Not Bechayav Yof and the din of Matnas Kuhunas where Rechayav Akev is also only Nohe Bimin not Bechayav Yof. Just like all those dinim are dependent on Minim. You have to be kaveh what the Minim. So Tosis assumes that there are partials. If it's a shver from the Gemara, the Gemara remains within a vital of Shita, and Taisus assumes that it's not so. Taisus assumes that it all depends on the Minim.
Maybe Taisus
has it for Kula. Taisus says it long ago. There is a din if you shef the Behemah, there's a bent of Kula, that's why it's not a reason for thing. You shef the cave of Behemah, and there's a lot inside, there's a bent of Kula. The Gemara has a Parsik, there's a whole Behemah, there's a whole Perik, the fourth Perik in the Kula. It's called Behemah HaMakasha. It has all the dinim of Bepetul. So the Mishnah says in Perek Behemah HaMakasha, if you shech the Behemah Muberes, and there's an Uber inside, so the Uber is Dikta B'Shchita Sima. So the blood doesn't need its own Shchita. So when it drops dead later, then I'll tell you it's Mutabachim. In the Rabban, there's a din that somebody mentioned when we discussed it. If it's a Gabi Karka, the blood is no blood, and then it starts to walk, it walks around, and then it looks like it's a separate Balchai, doesn't look like it was nikta b'shchita sima. There's no way to distinguish this vlad from every other vlad in the world. So the Rabbanim, Itam Arasayim, the Chachamim required, the Mishnah required shchita. And then there's a question in Poskim whether he said bracha on such a shchita or not. And the shech the vlad of the Ben Pekua, the shech the Ben Pekua that needs shchita with the Rabbanim, Itam Arasayim. So is that, whenever you do a mitzvah on Itam Arasayim, then you don't say a bracha. It says in Hilchas Chanukah, there's a din in Hilchas Chanukah that's based on Arasayim. It's not a Gemara, they used to light the candles on the outside. Bisman Hazeh, we light for the Bnei HaBayis inside. So this whole thing doesn't apply. But Bisman HaGemara, when they used to light the candles on the outside, Pesach HaBayis, so the Gemara says, what happens? Gemara quotes the Christ. What if a person has a house that has two psochem, one on either side of the street? If he has a house that has two psochem on the same side, so he doesn't have to light a menorah in each Pesach. People who will be walking down the block will see that he has a menorah on the other doorway. So there won't be chayshin in that he didn't like the Hanukkah in. But if he has a house that has an opening on two different streets, on two different sides, so the people who walk on one street will see the menorah that he has. The people who walk on the other street won't see the menorah that's on the other side. Then he needs to light a second menorah on the other side because of the Mar side. So the Kivegi put there in Shulchan Aruch, and that din, that there's no bracha recited. Whenever you do a mitzvah, Mishum Mar Asai, you don't say it though. I think the Ramah quotes it, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Ramah quotes the name of the Ram. Whenever you do a mitzvah, Mishum Mar Asai, there's no bracha recited. Rabbi Kivegar in Hilchas Shchita raises this question. What if you shech the Ben Pekua where the Shchita, where he first had the character, the Ben Pekua started to walk and then Shchita and the Rabban Mishim Arisayin, because people won't be able to tell that this child was Nikol Mishchita Simo. Do you recite a bracha on the Shchita or not? What's the nature of the din of Shchita's Ben Pekua? Is it purely Mishum Arisayin, in which case there's no bracha recited? Or we say no, Mishum Arisayin is the reason why. And that's the reason why the Chachamim instituted that a Ben Pekua needs Shchita. So shout. So there is a din that the Ben Pekua is nikta b'shchita simo. So the Mishnah says that l'chora when a Ben Pekua is nikta b'shchita simo, so the only thing is that the basar is mutav li shchita. You don't have to do a second shchita on the vlad. The shchita on the mother is good for the vlad. But what about the things that in the mother gufa, when you do shchita on the mother, it's only matter the basar. It's not matter the dam. It's not matter the gira nasha. It's not matter the chela. So when I shech the mother, should I say that the shchita is matter the vlad, even the dam? And the Chalev and the Gid Anosha also? It doesn't make any sense. So the Mishnah says yes. The Mishnah says when I have a Ben Pekua, the Shechita same is Mata, not only the Basar of the Vlad, the Basar of the Uber, it's even Mata, the Gid Anosha and the Chalev. The Dam not, but the Gid Anosha and the Chalev yes. So the Rishonim have a hard time explaining why should the Shechita same be Mata, the Basar of the Vlad? Okay. That's a Pasuk though, just like the Rambam said that is called on the Tchina. Muta Lishka Letamuferes, because Uber Yerachinoi. The Shchita Sareim applies not only to the Bistar Haim, but applies to the Bistar Uber as well. But how can the Shchita Sareim apply to the Giranosh and the Chelev of the Uber if it's not matter the Giranosh and the Chelev of the mother? How can it be better on the Vlad than on the mother? So the Rishonim give two reasons for this Hetam. Some Rishonim give a classy Pshat. The Ram gives a snazzy Pshat over there. He says that Giranosh is only us if it's found in a specific place. Let's say it's an abnormal animal that doesn't have a sciatic nerve or whatever it's called, where it belongs on the leg. It has it on the left ear. Al pi mikra, it has an abnormal development of the embryo. Behemoth is born with this nerve in the wrong place. And then it's mutter. It's only akapayar. Only that part of the Giranosh is Asman HaTorah that's on the kaf, and the extension to the right and to the left, above and below it is only Asman HaTorah. But if you don't have the Chalal, the Giranosh is not, and not the Chalal over there, it's in Gamsan on a different place, then it's not us. But the Chalav is only us, a specific Chalav. It's not Allah, all the Chalav in the body is us. We eat a lot of meat with a lot of fat, and we hope that it's fat that's mutter. We call that Shuma, we don't call that Chalav. So the only Chalav that's us is Chalav, the way the Torah describes in a specific Makom. So if you shech the behema muberes and the vlad is mutter because uba yerechimo, so it comes out that you have an awful lot of chelev, an awful lot of giranosh, but it's in the wrong place. It's inside the beis harechem. If you shech the vlad, so if the vlad is born already, then you shech it separately. So I say, well, it has its own chelev. It's makom hadorei, chelev shalak kerem, chelev shalak loyos, chelev on the kidneys, chelev on the belly, and so on, and between the ribs, it has a makom. And has a giranosh in the right place on the leg, going over the kapha yara. But if I shech the mother and the uber is nita b'shchifa tereim, so where's the whole chelev and the whole giranosh of the uber? Inside the mother is the beis harechem. So that's the wrong makom. So since it's not the giranosh and the chelev is not the right makom, it's mutter. The dam is also wherever it is. That's how the Ran explains, but the giranosh and the chelev is only also if it's in the right spot. Near it's in the wrong place. The chelev and giranosh and the beis harechem is mutter. That's one pshat that Rishayim give, but Taisus doesn't give that pshat. Taisus claims the following pshat, that Giranosh is only also if it's a behema or a chayo. And Chelev is only also if it's a behema. Mashen Kein Dam is also whether behema chayo oro. So in order to forbid Dam, you don't have to have a shem ha-min ha-prati. You don't have to label it as a certain type of an animal. Dam from animals is also, so the Uber is an animal. It doesn't have any shame prati yet. The Taisa says before the Uber is born, it doesn't have the it's an animal, but it neither has the shame behema nor the shame chai nor the shame o. Nor the shame dogi. It doesn't have any shame on. So it doesn't have any shame prati. It's a palchai. So Taisa says that's the chilek. The dam is also from all animals. Dam dogim is mutter. It's a different thing because dam is not called mutsara. So that's why the dam dogim is mutter. It's a different halach. But the dam of all animals is us. So maybe even though the uber doesn't have any specific shem prati, it's not a behem, it's not a chai, it's not an oaf, but it's a balchaim. So the dam of all balchaim is also. Hashemi came the gilanashe, and the chaylev of the uber is mutter, the ben piku is mutter. Why? It's not that it's nita b'shchita say. No, the baser of the uber is nita b'shchita say, but the gilanashe, the chaylev was never necessary in the first place. It doesn't become master until the animal is born. Because before it's born, it doesn't have the shem prati of being behem with the chayot yet. And before it gets that shame prati, it's mutter. If it has it, lachel. Taisus assumes that the yisid gira just like the yisid chela. Depends on the labeling of the animal as a behemoth. If it's not labeled as a behemoth, then it has no yisid chela. So too, the yisid gira nash only applies when the animal is labeled either as a behemoth or a chayim. And before it's born, it doesn't have any specific label. This taisus is shver. That's how Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out. This taisus is shver. Because the Gemara had a suffix about that. Boy Rab Zeru. What if you have behemoth or the chayim? And it's not ogul, the kaf is not ogul. What if you have an oaf and the kaf is ogul? Is the halacha over here that the giranosh depends tak on the shame behemoth of the chayim, as opposed to the shame oaf? No, it doesn't depend on the shame, it depends on the messias. Is there a heftar giranosh on top of the kaf ogul or not? The thesis over here explains that Mishnah that the reason why the chelev and the gir of the uber is mutter is not that it's nita b'shchita sima. That doesn't make any sense. Shchita is only matter baser, it's not matter chelev and gid. The reason why it's mutter is because it's called matter. The baby wasn't born yet, so it doesn't have a shame, the baby doesn't have a shame chaya. And that's why it's mutter. The Rav pointed out that this is a little difficult because Mimar had a sophic about that, whether that's true or not. Whether the Yisrael Yisrael depends taka on the shame, the baby, the chaya, or not at all. Just depends on the mitzvah. So the gid anosh is this kind of a nerve going over a kafongo. Certainly not. Certainly depends. That the Gemara says clearly. Zerol of Hayam Akeva certainly depends on a Shein Behem. And Chelev certainly depends on the Shein Behem. Kisi Adam certainly depends on the mitzvah. Kisi Adam certainly depends on the Shem Chayviyot. The only question is, what about Gira Nasha? Does Gira Nasha depend on the Shem Behem of a Chaya? Or not? Just depends on the mitzvah of a Gira Nasha, on a Kafogo.
Also, in that Tosla, it says in the
what does that mean? That you go according to these specific animals,
that
if
this, or, I mean, if this bird has a
cow,
alright, according to
Tosus,
would it be
the Gidon Nosha would be Musa? Tosus says it depends. Does it have a shame behem of a chai, or does it have a shame of? If it has a shame behem of a chai, then the Gidon Nosha is us. And this was exactly what Rav Zera was Mesufik. What if you have a behem of a chai and the calf is not ogle? But if you have an oaf and the kaf is ogle, does it depend on the mitzias of kaf ogle, or does it depend on the shem behem of the chayim? So what Taisus is simply difficult, because that's exactly the gemara's divided lev sheet. The gemara says teku, the sofik and the din derais. I can place it assume one way.
Why
the dam of the uber is aser? Because dam is aser even if it doesn't have a shem prati of behem of chay or oaf. Dam of all living animals on the ground.
Is
there
a nefesh? There's no
nefesh.
Why do you worry about
dam? Dam of animals. Is that an animal?
You have
a nefesh. You ask a kasha that the Uber doesn't have a nefesh yet?
Yes.
Different kasha. Okay. It's a good kasha. You ask a different kasha that the dam that's down on the Uber should be moved because it's not dam on it. Yeah, there's a difference though, that all the dam in the body is also, but there's no chorus on it. Only dam shana shama yodzibo has chorus. The yitz of dam is not always the same. It's not like I have a piece of meat that I didn't salt it, I didn't get the blood out, and I squeeze out the blood and put it in a cup and I drink it. But the yitz of the rice of dam arivorim, a dam arivorim has no chorus. The only chorus is a dam shana shama yodzibo. Dam shibolei is also called dam anet. Let's say you'll take the dam shibolei of the uber, would there be chorus or not? That's a tiny, maybe there wouldn't be chorus. Maybe you just like dam, maybe only even the dam shibolei of the uber would have the status of dam or yivor. It's a good argument, could be. Shechita is then kakua, it's a shayla.
What's
the shayla
there?
By Ner Chanukah, they said, if they marisign lights, and when you light, you're not mikayim a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you're mikayim a mitzvah of marisign, so the Chacham would have a misakan of bracha marisign. Marisign is not really a mitzvah, it's an Easter. The Easter Nikim, Hashem Yisrael means don't ruin your own reputation. It's not really a mitzvah, it's an Easter. So the Shaila here by Shechita is, when they made a takana that you have to shech the Ben Pekua, did they say, shech to take care of the marisign, let nobody think that you're reading the Veil. Oh no, maybe they said, because of the reason the Marisai were mistaken, that it meant before Shita is a Gavikaka, it's called Shita. It's called Shita, then you're actually doing a Shita. It's not just you're making believe you're doing a Shita. In order that people shouldn't be choshed, you to take off Kasha. If it's just to take off Kasha, then it's not wrong. But if the Marisai is the reason for the Takana, but the Etzim Takana is that they're mistaken doing a Shita, then you would say it wrong. So that would be Kivegan, and Hilva Shita quotes from the Kasa de Harsana, as it's thought about. Kasa de Harsana is a criminal. Wrote it. Kivega didn't realize it was a criminal who wrote a pirush and a forged Shuvas HaRosh that means itself wrong. A wise guy, he's a genius. So he wanted to make some money, he wanted to go down in history as the one who published the manuscript of a Rishon. So he published a Shuvas HaRosh, he claimed the collection of Shuvas HaRosh, an old manuscript that he entitled B'Samin Rosh, the Samin from the Rosh. And he wrote his own pirush on the bottom, wrote his own Mamukams and Kamis and Chidushim on the bottom, that's called Kasa Daharsa. Rabbi Kivega quotes that very often in Yeridei. He quotes a lot from the Psalm of Rosh, from the forgery, and as it has come from another Yehuda. As it has come from another Yehuda on some Rosh. I have it in the library down here. And then around 100 years later, everybody realized that the whole thing is a forgery from top to bottom. Yeah. Some of them apparently he had manuscripts and the others he made up in order to fill in a bigger book.
And they found those forgeries.
They made a research, they found them. Rabbi Yerucham Perlo was one of the main people. He published, he wrote a whole long essay. He studied critically all of the shuras and all the comments, and he came to the conclusion that the shuras are forged. Some sefer refers to it as the Kitzvei HaRosh. That is the Kitzvei HaRosh. And the printed, so they assume that there's some, they assume that it's not a misprinting of some sefer, that he knew that it was a forgery, and he called it the Kitzvei HaRosh, with a Zion. That is writing Kitzvei HaRosh with a thumb. Pasuk tells us in today's Seder that Yaakov Avinu was taking a long time to come back from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Yisbarach encouraged him that he should come back. So he told him he should come back to Beisel, Vaseishon Mizbeach, Lokel, Hanira Elecha, Bavarcha, Chomimtai Yisav Achicho. Hurry up and make the Mizbeach. So Rashi quotes a part of the Medrash, he doesn't quote the whole Medrash, that Hashem Yisbarach told Yaakov Avinu, you took a neder so many years ago, you're violating Baal Teacher? There is a din in the Torah. If you see the neder, Hashem Alakach lo siyach alasham. If you take a neder, you have to hurry up and pay up the neder. Al pi pashtus, the Ramban points out in Sefer HaMitzvahs that this is one of the differences between a neder mitzvah and a neder harashus. Let's say a guy takes shvua that he's going to eat banana. Banana is a bad example. If a guy takes a shvua, he's going to eat this cookie. So what if he puts the cookie in the freezer? He'll eat it another 20 years. Now he wants to go on a diet. He puts it away in the freezer, he'll eat it in 20 years. There's a problem of Hashim and Yisrael, the Rabban, a different problem. When they die, people will observe the Shavuot. Different thing. But is there a din of Los Yachel Shalmai? Is there a loch? If you see the Nedal Hashem Lakech, Los Yachel Shalmai, that person going to go, see the Nedal Hashem Lakech, and Nidre Mitzvah, that the Gemara talks in the Rosh Hashanah. That you had Balti Acher on Korbanas, the guy took a neder to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash on Beket, on Shikha, on Peya, on giving Trumas and Maizes, on other things, on the Dokis, on Korban Pesach, you had Balti Acher. You don't have Balti Acher on Lidri Horishus, Alpi Pashtus. That's how the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Ranan, the Gemara and the Dorim disagrees. The Ranan gives you a case back of the Shua. A guy takes the Shua, he's going to eat this orange. Orange is again a bad mashal. He'll leave it there for a whole year, he'll get rotten, so he won't be able to bring the kind of Shua. But let's say he takes a neder, he takes a shvuah that he's going to eat this cookie, and he puts the cookie in the freezer, and he plans to wait till next year, he'll eat it next Purim, the Hamantash. He doesn't want to eat it this year. It'll still be there, it'll be preserved. So the Ranan is Machadish and the Gemara and the Dorim that you have Baal Teach and even on Nidrei Horishus. And the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvah is holding on. You only have Baal Teach and Nidrei Mitzvah. Whatever, here it was certainly a Nidrei Mitzvah. He took a neder that he's going to make the webinar of the Shasam Timatzeh, the year based on the he's going to build a shul. Cook a plant, he's going to build a shul. Make whatever, a yeshiva, whatever he's going to do, he's going to make out of his bed, but bring korbanos, and he didn't do anything. He was sitting there in Chutzalar for so many years. What happened to the neder? All right, so Koch Nefesh is Deuche. He said when he comes back, he'll do it. And even he couldn't come back, he was still afraid of his brother, whatever, he couldn't do it. And then the Rabbanu Shalom says, but people in Nashi, how long are you going to stay here? He's too worried about his own health. The Rabbanu Shalom says he took a neder. Hurry up, make the Mizbech already. You have already violated Baal Tacha. That's how Rashi quotes from the Medrash. So because then Rashi quotes one part of the Medrash, and the Medrash has a machloikis Amoroyim. The Bereishis Rabbah is by Amoroyim. The others are by later Chachamim, post Talmudim. But Bereishis Rabbah is an older Medrash. So the Medrash has a machloikis Amoroyim on this pasuk, and Rashi quotes one opinion. What Oynish was Yankov punished with because he violated Baal Teach? So Rashi quotes one opinion from the Medrash that right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, hurry up and go back to Beisel and make the Mizbeach and bring already the Korbanos that you promised me. He violated Baal Teach, so because he violated Baal Teach, that's why he was punished, that he had the Hesed with Shechem and his daughter was attacked and he had a whole Tzorah that his children wiped out the whole city and he was scared that they're going to kill him and so on. He had a whole Tzorah. That was his punishment, aggravation and Tzorah. Much more than the normal, that a normal person would have. The other opinion in the Medrash is a whole different shot, that's why his wife died. Because the Gemara says, Bavon Adorim, Ishto Shaloda Mesa. If a person takes a neder to give money to his token and he doesn't observe his neder, so then the prophet says, Ishto Mesa. The Gemara derives it from the Gemara Bavon Adorim derives it from the from the prophet in Kohelet that says, Lama Yigaf Nishkov from Yitaktecha. The prophet says, that if you take a neder, you don't pay. Why don't you pay your neder? If you don't pay the neder, Baruch Hashem will take away your wife. So just like the Gemara says, Bavon Adorim, Ishto Shaloda Mesa, that if the husband takes an Adorim and pledges to give to the duck and he doesn't pay, so the punishment will be, it's a strange punishment, so why doesn't he drop dead? Well, what do they have against his wife? That's what it says. The husband takes a pledge and he doesn't pay, so the wife dies. So who are the Nami? The other opinion in the matter says on this passage, who are the Nami? If he takes a pledge and he does pay it, but he pays it to Ichur, and he violates Baal Teacher, the punishment applies there as well. So the Mishnah Lamela points out in his little Sefer Parashas Rochem, as a Sefer on Agarta, he points out that this opinion in the Medrash is the source for the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvah that if a person, well, how does the Pasuk read?
Ain't
the father shalom. If you didn't pay your net, you So the question is, the Gemara only has this with respect to a person who just never pays the pledge at all. What if the husband does pay the pledge, but he violated Baal Ta'akir? He said that in such a case also, his onus will be that his wife will die, or perhaps not, that the violation of Baal Ta'akir, the onus for that is not the Ish Tishalot the Meist. So that, the Mishnah Melech said, that seems to be the Machlokes HaMaraim. Over here in this Medrash, when Hashem told Yaakov Avinu should hurry up and pay up his pledge and make the Mizbech and make the Beis HaLakim that he promised, and he didn't do it yet, and he violated Baal Ta'akir, that's why you're going to have a lot of tzoros. So one Amora says the tzoros were with his daughter Dina and Shem and Bnei Yaakov and the whole Malchum and everything, all the tzoros that he had there. And the other Amora says no, the tzoros were that the wife died, that Rachel died. So the Mishnah Amora takes it that this is the Machlokes HaMaraim, whether violating Baal Ta'akir is the same as violating the whole Neder, not being carrying the Neder at all, or not. Baal Ta'akir is not the same as violating the Neder. So he points out that this Medrash perhaps serves as the source for the Rambam. There is a Peladik Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, which the Ramban says doesn't make any sense, says against the Gemara. The Rambam writes, what if a person pledges to give a Korban Shlomim or a Korban Olam? And he takes his good old time and he brings it 5 years after he took the Neder Mitzvah. So he violated Baal Ta'akir. So the Rambam said, but let's say he ultimately finally brings the Shlomim or the Olam to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Arach HaZak, he doesn't say anything. Not for or against, he doesn't take a stand on it. And in the Sefer HaMitzvot, he writes, and not only did he violate Baal Ta'akir, if he brings it 5 years later, if he waits Shalosh Regalim, even when he'll bring his Karban Shlomim and his Karban Olam, he will not have the Kiyum HaMitzvah of, it'll be considered as if he violated Lo Yachol Dvorah, as if he violated the whole Neder. The violation of the Neder. Because there's man of Bal Yachel, there's man of Bal Ta'achel, there's man of Shalosh Shikalim, there's man for the Kiyum HaNeder. When a person pledges to give Tzoke, a person pledges to bring a Korban, so if he pledges to give the Korban within 30 days, within a week, and he doesn't do it, then he violated the whole Neder. What if he pledges Tam and he doesn't give any Zman Kotsu? When he's going to fulfill this promise? So then if the Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvah, so the Torah gives him Zman Kotsu. The Torah says you have to do it within Shalosh Shikalim. Otherwise you violate Baal Ta'akir. When you violate Baal Ta'akir, then it's considered as if you have violated the whole Neder. The Torah is kaveh azman for any Neder mitzvah, any Neder lagavoya that you didn't make any Zman Kotsu. You make a Zman Kotsu of a month, and you don't bring it within a month, so you have already violated Baal Ta'akir. If you make a Zman Kotsu of 2 years, so you can't say this Baal, you can't say that he hasn't been your kind of Neder. But if you have like a milvah stam, so if you have a Neder stam, so the Torah says Zman Kotsu for a Neder stam, the Shalosh Regalim. So if you wait to pay Shalosh Regalim, you violated the whole Neder. The Ramban and the Hasogas to the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Ramban says it's against the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, see the Neder Hashem Akech Lo Siyachol Lishamo, Kidoshi Dishen Hashem Akech Meimo. And it says, so how does the Pasuk continue? And if you will bring the Yachid the Korban, if you'll wait Shalosh Regalim to bring it, you will have an Averus. So the Gemara comments, V'hayo b'chachet, V'lo b'ish b'chachet. What does it mean, V'lo b'ish b'chachet? So the Pshat is, so the Ramban says, this Fasemis somehow didn't even know about, he forgot, the Rambam and the Ramban, and they write this Pshat on his own on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramban writes that Pshat. What does it mean, V'hayo b'chachet, V'lo b'ish b'chachet? That the klal is, the Gemara says in Ben Mamadlikin, that Babon, the Darmish, the Shalom, the Mesa, the husband takes the Darmish, he doesn't fulfill them, then the Yonish will be, ki kach mishkacha mitachtecha, the Pasuk in Kohelot. So what happens if the husband took a Neder Stam, and he didn't give his man Kotzim, and the Torah says he has to fulfill a Neder Mitzvah, within Shalosh Regalim, and he takes his good old time, and he brings the Neder, he brings the Tzedakah, or brings the Korbanos, after Shalosh Regalim, so he's violated Baal Ta'akir. Has he also violated the whole Neder or not? Is it a violation of the Neder? So that's what the Gemara says. That the wife will not be punished, she won't die. Why? Because it's not a violation of Baal Yachol. The Neder is Mekuyim, just that he violated Baal Ta'akir. So the Ramban says, isn't that Gemara? That's the Sfasemis, is Pshat and Gemara, Shtei Tshon and the Ramban. So the Ramban says, isn't that Gemara? Directly contradicting the Rambam. That the Rambam says that if the person violated Baal Ta'akir, then it's also, at the same time, it's a violation of Baal Yachol. He has broken the whole Neder. So the Mishnah Melech writes in a Sefer Parashas Drachma, he thinks that the Ramban is right, that Gemara is against the Rambam. But it's a Doa Medrash Rakert. He says the Medrash on this pasuk, the other mandam in the Medrash says that because the Shkol Sherecharta, that's why your wife is going to die. What's the connection between being the Acher and the wife dying? Because one who violates Baal Ta'achar is considered violating the Neder. When one violates a Neder, so the Bavon Adar, Mishle Shalom is. That's how the Mishle Melech says that the Machloik is the Ramam, the Ramban is the Machloik is Samar Raim, and the Bereshis Rabba.
So what was the effect of Yaakov with the Shoshu Yaakov and his Mephano? So he should have
been
Kotev.
Yaakov should have been Kotev. It's the whole thing of Baal Ta'achar. Yeah. He didn't have Regolim. The Gemara says either Gimel Regolim or Shana Shlema, whichever comes first. Sometimes it's possible that you can wait a whole year and you still didn't have Yisholosh Yigol. The Gemara says either Ror is considered a Baal Tach. So here he had many. Here he had more than a year. The Kozman that he was there in by Lavan's house, he had a hide from his brother Esau. So there's no Baal Tach there. Because Hakonas Nefosh, if he Kof Nefesh is Deich, all the other deals, so Deich Kof Nefesh is Deich Alos Segurim Ipnei Yisholosh. Didn't prepare. The judge is not allowed to be afraid. So what happens if the judge is afraid they're going to kill him? So they post him say la loch because now if he's not afraid, the real hooligans, the real gangsters. But then there's a lot of passing wrong also. If he's afraid they're going to kill someone, they're afraid they're going to kill him. They threaten. The mafia threatens to kill him or kill his family if he doesn't pass him wrong. So the dinner was a good mechanician suspended the next time. Even though the whole pasuk says lois a good mechanician. You're not allowed to be afraid, but the Makkum Sakhanas and Fashas is mutter to be afraid. You're permitted to violate that. So you're permitted to violate Lo Siyach al-Sham also. But Hashem Yisbarach told Yaakov Avinu that he waited too long. He waited already after everything was all over, after the 7 years for the first wife and the 7 years for the second wife, then he stayed another 6 years. He took a lot of time on it, then it took him 2 years to go back. So the Baruch Shalom said, what are you waiting so much for? Just for Parnassa he was waiting later. He didn't have to stay there so long just to hide from his brother. That's why the pasuk says he was Nenash. Yeah, I don't know.
That was
14. I don't know. Yosef was born after the 14 years, yeah. Don't remember. I don't think the Rama means that the Neder is no longer binding. I think he means that it's a violation of the mitzvah of the Neder. It's a violation of Layachal Zvara, but he's still mechuyif to bring the korban. Even after the year is up, he's still mechuyif to bring the korban. I don't know. It's an additional violation. I don't know exactly what. Tamid is an essay analysis. The mitzvah is sechatishma ve'asisa kashen adart ala shem kechen adova. The mitzvah is sechatishma is an essay. Layachal Zvara is a lav. Some of the lav he violated it. I don't know. One he violated and one he still didn't violate. If he doesn't bring it all the korban, then he violates both, apparently. But if he brings a bichur, then he violates less the acher and he violates one of the others in connection with the havoas korban. But if it's another one, he doesn't violate. I don't know. The Rambam doesn't explain fully the whole story. Then the Rabbanu Shalom told Yaakov at that occasion, he told him to go back there to serve. He promised him, go, Yikal, go in Liyami Mekka. So what does it mean, Goyu, Kahal Goyim? What, he's going to have two nations? Avraham Avinu had two nations coming out of him. He had Jews and Goyim. Yitzchak had two nations. He had Mishnei Goyim and Itnev. He had Malchus Raimi, the Christians and the Jews. But Yaakov Avinu was Mitzvah Shleim. All of his children were Jewish. Goyu, Kahal Goyim, Yemi Mefer. He didn't have any Goyim. What says the Goyim in Zionist? Goyu, Kahal Goyim. What does that mean? The throne and the Brian. So the Mishnah in Hari is talking about this. Let me go. So the Mishnah learns out a din from here. The din is that Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. That every Shevet of Kali Yisrael is considered a whole Goy. It's considered a whole nation Bifnei Atzmo. And it's Megel Adina. The halacha is that when you bring a Parhalam Dovashol Tzibur, when the Revat Tzibur is Dina Avere, Bishogig, that if they would have violated the Mezid, they would have been Chayv Kores. So if they violated Bishogig, so the Chayv Chatos, if the Rav HaTzibu did it based on a Pesach of a Bez Nagol, so the Torah requires in Parshas Vayikra that the Tzibu should bring a Par Halam Dovash of Tzibu, a special Korban Chatos, instead of the plain Kizbo Sira that every Yochid bring, the whole Tzibu brings together one Korban. So the Mishnah is saying there, there's a Machlok Yisat Tanayim, and the Tanayim, some Tanayim say that, I think I'm pretty sure that's how we pass him, that each one of the Shvatim has to bring Par Halam Dovash of Tzibu, because every Shevet is Ikri Kohol. And the mocker for that din is from this pasuk that the Rebbeinu Shalom promised them goy kagoy miyemim beko, and Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Rashi quotes part of that Gemara in the Medrash What do you mean goyim come from? He's not going to have any goyim. So the answer is he's going to have shvatim coming from him. And then Rashi goes ahead to explain further. What do you mean he's going to have shvatim? He's just going to have another one more shevet was born later. Shevet ben Yamin. All the other shvatim were born before. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. And the fact that Hashem is both called Yaakov, Goyim, Kal Goyim, he understood. Yaakov understood that in addition to Binyamin who was born, one of the other shvatim is going to be split. So he felt that he had the right to split whichever shevet he chooses to. So he chose the split shevet Yosef to make it into shevet Ephraim and Menashe. That's why he said Aloshin, Ephraim and Menashe, Kiru and Shimon, Yi Yuli. I consider Ephraim and Menashe like shvatim, just like Reuben and Shimon are two shvatim. So I'm splitting Yosef, making it into two shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe. I think so. I think each shaved and this the Raivid comments in his Pirish on Teres Kohanim, in this Raivid, that in addition to this halacha that the Mishnah derives from that pasuk, there is another kavana that's included here. That the haftocha that Hashem Yisbarach gave to Klal Yisrael that they never be wiped out. Hashem Yisbarach promised Avraham and Yitzchak Yankov that their descendants would never end. So that haftocha at this time when Hashem declared Goy Kagoyim Yehi Mekah that every shevet is Zikri Kol, this haftocha applies to each and every individual shevet. Not only can the Klal Yisrael never be wiped out, no one shevet will ever be wiped out. Yeah, the lost 10 tribes, but the lost 10 tribes, there are still members of those lost 10 tribes who are amongst all of us now. Not Shaykh, the Gemara says Gemiri, the Gemara says Neshnechon. We have a tradition to look over Shiftim Yisrael. An entire Shevet will never be wiped out. So how did the Gemara have this tradition? Because the Pasuk says, Goy Yikal Goy Yiyan Yineko. The Pasuk refers to every Shevet as a Goy, as an entire nation. And the Haftoha was given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. And that's how the Pasuk reads, the Malachi, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisu, the Atem B'nei Yaakov, Lo Felisim. Shem Yisrael says to B'nei Yaakov, Lo Felisim, you were not wiped out. He refers to Bnei Yaakov, and Yaakov means the sons of Yaakov Avinu. It means that every those were the Shvatim. So he says that each and every individual Shevet has the Haftacha that it won't be wiped out. That every Shevet is Zikri Kol. Exactly what this means is a good question. What kind of an Indian is this? What do you mean every Shevet is called a Kol? I gave a whole rush about that last week. But that's the halacha part. That's what it's. But what I said so far, that was the statement's fine. The rest is what I added. Rachel was buried on the highway. She wasn't buried in Maros HaMachpelah. So later on in the Chumash, Yankov Avinu is about to die. And he wants Yosef, his son, to promise him that he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael in the Maros HaMachpelah. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that at that time, Yaakov told Yosef that I know that you're angry at me. Why I didn't bury your mother in the Maros HaMachpelah? Why I left her where she was? Don't be angry at me, it was done up here at Gura. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted me to bury her there, so that when the Jews were going to Golis at the time, on the occasion of the Kurban Bayis Rishon, they should be able to be mispalel at Kevel with the Kevel Rochel, and Rochel will be mispalel when she sees them passing by. Where is Rashi called that? Parshas Vayechi, it says, "Vayni b'voyi mipadan." Pasuk Zayin, "Neisar avay Rachel." What does he start giving the whole story? Why he buried us? The Rashi quotes in the whole Medrash. Even though I'm asking of you such a tirucha that you should take me bury me in Eretz Yisrael, and I didn't do that for your mother Rachel. Look, Achal Tisi v'Yimcha. I didn't bother to take her far. I just buried her on the highway towards Beit Lech, and you should know that that was done al piyad gvura. That al piyad dibuk v'atir shem shetei v'eru v'aneho. And she should be mispalel for them, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, called for Ramanishma, Rachel Mevakal Banel. What's the pshat over here? Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef that he should be angry. He did al pi avura. He did al pi aviva. Some interpret, some add on that the Rashi, what the Medrash means to say is the following. There is a Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia that indicates that the Maras HaMachpel is a Makom Yuchat for Tfilah. The Maras says in Tainus that Makom Kiriyat Tzadikim is always a good place to be Mistal. It means always was throughout the generations that people go to be Mistal and Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim. That means you pray to the Tzadikim Chas V'Shalom. You know, a lot of prayer to the Tzadikim. You have to pray to the Bava Shalom, but it's a good place to be Mistal and Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim. Like davening in a shul, like davening in Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim. It's Makom Kodesh and Makom Tohan. In Yiddish folklore, they say that the East Ham Shalokim traveling from Eretz Yisrael to collect money for the yeshivas, they went around in Europe in different places. So the Baba Maisa goes that some people used to kill these Mishalokim in order to have Kirit Tzadikim to be Mispal. Little villages, they had no Rabbanim, they had no Tzadikim, nothing. So they kill the Mishalokim, they have Kirit Tzadikim. Jewish jokes. Yiddish folklore. So the Gemara tells in the end of Bava Metzia that Maros HaMachpelah is a special place for davening. Today it's a shaila if you're allowed to go into the Maros HaMachpelah. Post can have tshuvas about it because it's a mosque. No. Is it a mosque with a Christian, with a Muslim spray? With a Muslim spray there. So I'll be pashtus, you're allowed to change it into a shul, okay. But this Gemara says you're allowed to change it into a shul, but they didn't change it yet. It's still a mosque now. So you're allowed to walk into a mosque. I'll be part of the certainly not. The shal is. I don't know. I didn't read the whole literature. I just know that the post can have tshuvas l'alach. It's a historical problem. Who built it? If it was built originally as a shulman, later the going converted into a mosque. So then after some post can say, I don't know about the Dovish and the Shalom. They had no right to grab our shul away. So it's still called the Maros HaMachpelah. We can still down there. Now they claim that historically that the mosque was originally built by Muslim to be a mosque. Then you're not permitted to go into a mosque.
But if they changed it up, you're not allowed to go in or not?
Not allowed to go in.
No, because one of the rooms there is they change up into a shul. Like they
have a separate entrance. I don't know.
Why can't you go? You use the hallway, but you don't go into the
mosque. I don't know. One is not permitted to go into a mosque either. Even if it is not Avodah Zarah. The difference between that, yes, Avodah Zarah, no Avodah Zarah is what we mentioned yesterday. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan and the shul is whether he's permitted to convert it into a shul. By the way, someone mentioned yesterday, what about all the shuls that were? Originally were churches and then they were converted. So I looked in the Yiddish Moshe last night. Yeah, Moshe has a tshuva in Chevek Orachayim. I was looking for your shayla. Found it in a different sense. Yeah. So in the Yiddish Moshe, Chevek Orachayim, he talks about all these shuls that were originally churches and they were converted. So he says, well, that's called b'diyevet. That's why he says the whole din is only l'chatchili, not allowed to convert a church into a shul. B'diyevet, if they did convert it, then it's mutas. So what does it mean that you go to the davening that you daven in the past? But what about the davening kind of l'achor? He says, well, you consider that also it's called b'diyevet. If they spent a lot of money to convert it into a shul, so then you're even permitted to daven in kind of l'achor, consider that b'diyevet. But he says he would never be mad to this l'achor.
If you have a choice to daven,
I don't think so. They don't need you to support that shul. If that shul will be able to continue without you, then Rav Moshe assumes that that's called, seems to assume that's called l'achor. Says, but the evidence is that it's far falling already. What are you going to do? Close down the shul and lose a half the moment? So that's called b'di evidence. So then that's called b'di evidence. So you continue, you're permitted to continue davening it. But he says it wasn't right in the first place that they converted into a shul and they shouldn't do it. So that's as far as converting a mosque into a shul is. Muslims converting a church into a shul is the but l'chatchila to go into a mosque while it's still serving as a mosque. That's certainly awesome. It's a mission in Avodah Zarah. That's also because of Maris Sinai that people will think that you're joining that sector, that religion. I don't know. What if you have it? Let's say a guy is in construction. Guy's in construction. He has to go nail the pew down and deliver the pew to the church. He comes in his dungarees and his cap or whatever. So it doesn't look like he's going to pray in the church. It looks like he's delivering chairs and grabbing your hand. Is there a heter on the Eastern Maritime? I don't know. But the folks can have a whole discussion about that. Not everybody. Many do. Some posts hold you not allowed. I don't know. That's the shaila. Some posts hold it's a shuvin tzitzel. Yes, and others have tzitzel. The shaila if you're allowed to go into the mosque.
It's a time to my place.
Yeah, the Gemara says they're not allowed. The Gemara at the end of Cheskes says they're not allowed.
They are allowed.
Kibur Tzadikim are not metame Hank Morgan, but the Gemara says that the Kohanim are not allowed to go on tomorrow. So I'm afraid that's the Gemara. Whatever you.
Yeah, but we don't know these things.
It's built on top.
Oh.
The Gemara is all the way underneath. And there's a cave that somebody tried going in once, but the Gemara just seen a cave.
Okay. So yeah, some explain as follows that when the Mevish is driving out means the following, that the Gemara is a Machpele is a Malkum Yuchud Litzfila. That's the Gemara, the end of the Gemara says Aliyah. Nobody is davening there. The Gemara, the end of Bab Mitzi. So here, Yaakov is telling his son Yosef that you shouldn't feel bad that I didn't bury your mother, Gemara is a Machpele. No, I buried your mother in Kever Rachel. Rachel was buried in Kever Rachel. And that is also a Malkum Tfila. Lost his love, but that will also be a Malkum Tfila. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Kol Baramon. And she's also davening. She's mevakesh shalem rachim shenema. She's also davening there. So she's mamish buried in the makom tefila also. Mar Kevin's also kibitz adik and has the same island, the same adrege as Maros Hamachpelah. That's what Yaakov meant to tell his son Yosef. That's what he's driving up in Parshas Vayikra. The Kever Rachel has the same status al pidin as Maros Hamachpelah. The same level. What's called yichus of Maros Hamachpelah? That it's a makom menuchas hatzadikim. It's a makom tefila. It's a makom yichud letefila. It's not for the problem with the mask. But leaving out the mask problem, the Gemara says it's a Malkum Tefila. So here also, Yaakov tells his son Yosef that Kever Rachel is also a Malkum Tefila. And the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Al Pi Hadibur, he wanted that she should be buried there, so that when in the days of Churban Bayis Rishon, when they'll go on that highway going to Golas Bavel, they should pass by Kever Rachel and they should daven there. Rashi on the pasuk Goy Kalgon quotes a different shot. Quotes a different medrash. Goy Kalgon that Asim Bonecho Lios Kigoyim. That by the Goyim they don't have one Avodah Zorah. They have many Avodah Zorahs and Makrut Korbanos all over under every other tree and every in front of every Avodah Zorah and so on. And by Bnei Yisrael we have one Kohen Gadol and one Beis Hamikdash and one Mizbeach and that's all. We don't have many. We don't allow many. So Rashi has a medrash that says on the pasuk Goy Kalgoyim. That the Rabbanu Shalom told him that Asin Banechel Yis Kigoyim Sheyu Makrivim Bachutz, and this was an allusion to the days of Eliyahu HaNavi when they're going to be Makriv Kotchim Bachutz. It was a special heter at that time. Tesis in Sanhedrin quotes this Rashi. Tesis in Sanhedrin that Peites and Tesis quotes this Rashi. Rashi's quoting a Medrash, it's not on his own. Tesis said that it contradicts the Gemara, because the Gemara derives from the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi was permitted to bring the Shtuk Echutz Bahar HaKarmel. The Gemara derives the principle that just like the Navi can do the Kumbi Asay, Tohiru Asho Lemigdam Milse, so too, the Chacham can also do, even Shalei Alpi Navi, the Chacham can also do. So Tosfos asks, but if this Pshat that Rashi says is correct, that Hashem is Baruch already says it's been a boy years before, that Goyim Kagoyim Yemimek, or that Asid Marachli is Kigoyim, that there'll be Makur Kotcha Machutz. So this was said been a few years before that there's going to be a Hefter Shkut Echutz. So how do you see from the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi said now is the time that we have to have that Hefter? How can you derive from that Yesh Kach B'Yad Chacham L'Akadov Min HaTorah, or Yesh Kach B'Yad any other Navi L'Akadov Min HaTorah B'Kum V'Yasei, if it's L'Hiro Asho L'Migdal Milse, how can you derive from that Parashah HaTorah? That's the exception to the rule was said in advance, and in another case the exception to the rule was not said in advance. The basis time is that the Medrash that Rashi quotes on Chumash and the Pasuk Goy Kalgoyim is against the Gemara. The Talmud Bavli doesn't hold it. The Mishnah says in Megillah regarding the Parshas Reuven, the Pasuk said that Reuven was Boal, his father's wife. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Megillah, that Maisa Reuven is Nikro Veloy Mitargim. When you're laying in shul, you used to have an institution of targum. In between every pasuk, they would have somebody get up and say the targum. This ma'aseh Reuven, you're not allowed to say. It says Vayishkev is bimati legishav Vayishma Yisrael. You're not allowed to read the targum. What's wrong with reading the targum? People will understand the pasuk. If you don't say the targum, they won't understand it. Say the targum, they will understand it. They were so ignorant that they didn't understand Hebrew. The targum added on here and there, added on a difficult word. It explains. It's pretty simple Hebrew with him. What do you gain by not saying over the Targum? So they say the name of the Vilna Goyen, that the Targum follows a different Shita. There is a machlokes atanan, what the pshat in the parsha over here is. Machlokes in Shabbos. Masav Shabbos daf nun hey. Did Reuben really do this sin? Vayishkar is pilagesh aviv or not? So the Targum writes kipshuto. He translates the word kipshuto. And the Mishnah says that nikra below the Targum. You're not allowed to say the Targum over here. I say a different Targum. We only say Targum unklus. Whenever there's no Targum unklus, so we don't say another Targum. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah Zatane says that you shouldn't say like this. Targum unklus says Targum unklus is written in Pirat Lezer of Yeshua. So he says the Mishnah says in the Gila, you shouldn't say the Targum on this pasuk because we don't accept that pshat. We accept the other pshat. And he just moved his father's bed to Leah's tent. I said, why does the pasuk say Vayishkar as Bila Pilegi Shabbat? That's not at all what he did. So the Medrash Rabbah says in the pasuk that with respect to great tzaddikim, the Tanakh will often be magazin the Avera, right? Such a terrible Avera, Gival, and it really wasn't such a big Avera. It was the chutzpah nehozit that he moved his father's bed to Leah's bedroom, but it wasn't the same as Vayishkar as Bila Pilegi Shabbat. But if a person is fakir, since Reuben was such a great tzaddik, so the pasuk attacks him as having done such a terrible aver, even though it wasn't that bad. And similarly, the Gemara says regarding Bnei Eli, the pasuk says that they used to be mezana with the women who came past the Chol HaMoed. What kind of business is that? And the pasuk says, Gefel, they told Eli Akoyan that his sons are the worst of the worst. And then the Gemara explains that it doesn't really mean that. That they were negligent in hakrovis hakrobonis of the yoldos, when the women gave birth to babies. So the thing is that after the 40 days or after the 80 days, whether she has a boy or a girl, they have to bring karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. And so they would bring the karbonis. So instead of hurrying up to bring the karbonis the same day that they brought the money or the offal, so the Bnei Eli would be negligent. They'd bring the karbonis the next day, 2 days later, so the women would wait around an extra day before they would go back home to make sure that their karbonis were offered. They wanted to make sure that the karbonis were taken care of. So because they would hang around town and they hadn't come originally with their husband, they left the husband, it was expensive to travel, so they left the husband's home and they would come for a trip to Yerushalayim and then they'd go back home. So because they were away from the husband's an extra day and they didn't have mishkov with their own husbands, so not that they had any mishkov with the Bnei Eli, but the Pasuk attacks Bnei Eli, the Pasuk Shmuel attacks them, as if they had done that aver. Ayishkevu es anashim at service Pesach Ol Moed. As if they had done that aver. But yeah, by the time, by Moshe Rabbeinu it says, by the Yam lo haman tzvi lahak d'shem leinei leinei, what did he do? You don't know exactly. The Arachan HaKadosh quotes all of the ten shotim, I think, all the different interpretations. What was the aver of Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, whatever it was, a psadak is the aver. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, or he hit the rock, says Shimon HaMorim, whatever, all the different shotim. Notzi, said Notzi Lacham instead of Otzi, Yotzi. So we don't know exactly what it was. Each Madama, each sheet holds the other one is wrong. So Dak is Dik Aver. The Pasuk says it was the worst Aver in the world. And the punishment was Gorgefella. That was the end of the world. He didn't let Moshe Rabbeinu go to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't visit Eretz Yisrael. He just wanted to visit the Chaparayim Mitzvah. Didn't let him go into the world. So the Medrash says that the Pasuk exaggerates sometimes when Tzadikim do an Aver. Svivav nisaram yod, the Pasuk said that. Rochum daktikim tzadikov kechut ha-sayro. With the Svivav, with those who surround him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more makbid on them. He's makbid both l'tayvo and l'ro. He's makbid here l'ro, that is magzim, the Pasuk writes down the deri-deris in the Tanakh that they did such a terrible avera, and it wasn't such an avera. If a plain person would have done it, it wouldn't be such an avera. But the Pasuk says about Dovid HaMelech, where he did such a sin with Bathsheba, and he's always blocking our chet, the whole tilm, every other pair of tilm. He's talking to a tshuva about the chet Bathsheba. Then Morris says that everybody who went to the army would get creases cursing the ishto. They had divorced their wife, so she wasn't an anxious ish. Just that it was an atma. What if, let's say, a girl is engaged to somebody else, and then I convince her that she should marry me. So here, that's what it was, Lemaisa. She had been divorced from her husband, Uriah Hachiti, but it's like they were engaged to be married, if and when he comes back alive from the army. So Dovid HaMelech took a girl who was engaged to her former husband, engaged to remarry her former husband, and he took her and he lived with her. So it's not really an Issa Boal, as you see. It's a terrible avla. Look how many times. We know people who take out girls who are engaged to other people and they can... I know guys like that. Moshe has a tshuva, he says it's mutter. Moshe says that there's no Issa. He says that the din of Ali Hamahakar, Moshe Feinstein has an English Moshe, there's no din of Ali Hamahakar Baharare. Let's say a guy's trying to get a job and he only has it, I'm not allowed to hop away the job from him. But what happens if the mamish no other jobs available? If he's going to get the job and not me, he's probably left without a job. It's not that there are other jobs available, go somewhere else. let's say this is the last loaf of bread in the store, let's say literally, he's trying to buy the cookie of the last bagel, the last challah in the store, and I run in, let's say he's online, and I run in and I start talking, and I say, give me that challah, and I get the challah and I walk out. But then the no more challahs left in them, but in the other store there are challahs. If there are mamish no more challahs left in town, and it's either I'm going to get this money, he's going to get it, so then the Rabbi Natan says it's mutter for me to grab, to take the tumul, to get the challah. But if there are other challahs in town, and now I'm going to be mobster the other guy, then he has to go wait online at another store, and I could have done that. This guy was waiting for half an hour, so I could go to the other store and I'll wait for half an hour. So then there's an Isar Rabbani Hamahapak Baharo. So Moshe has a tshuva that if this girl who's engaged to my best friend, I'm in love with her and I feel this is the only girl in the world who's going to make me happy. There's nobody else around and I'll never be happy with anybody else. So he thinks that it's Mikra Din, maybe it's really good that to grab the girl away, but he wouldn't recommend it. It's not right to start off a shidduch, to start off marriage, to start off your married life on a left leg, that's going to Rashi, you're violating an Issa. Rashi holds that it's also, even though Shulchan Aruch passed like the Rabbi Natan, that there's no violation in this case. He wouldn't recommend it. You should find yourself another girl, you fall in love, be happy with someone else. That's what he says. So Mikra didn't really, it's not really such a terrible avera with David and Melach. But the girl was engaged to Riachiti, she was divorced and engaged to remarry a Riachiti. But the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Kun Hei. The Gemara collects on Daf Kun Hei and Shabbos, all these people. David and Shlomo and Reuven. So the Gemara says, "Kolayim adam chata ain el atoya." What do you mean, "ain el atoya"? The pasuk says he was chayte. How can you deny that? So the Mefarshim explained, "No, David Hamelech and the Madrega of Tzidkis in Yerushalayim that he was by tzaddikim. Of course, it was a chet because we've of Nisar Miyot. But Kolayim adam chata, David is a private person. It wouldn't really be considered a chet. Reuven also, Moshe Rabbeinu sin. All of these sins that the pasuk describes as such terrible avlus, such terrible chatoim and averes." Means as the Medrash Rabbah says, by the tzaddikim, the pasuk is magzim there are various because Sviva of Nisar Amiyo. A plain people, it wouldn't be a chet. David HaMelech Taka was a chet, but David is a plain person. David is a plain guy. It wouldn't really be considered as an aver. So that's why the Mishnah Paskins in Megillah that Maise Reuven is Nikro B'Lev Mitargnik. You're not allowed to say the Targum on this pasuk because the Targum follows the other opinion in Shabbos Daftan Hei that the pasuk is to be taken Kipshuta. We don't pass like that. We pass it's not to be taken kipshuta. So you shouldn't say the tag because it has the wrong shot. We assume that that's not the correct shot. No, no. I say the pasuk three times. So if you have a pasuk that doesn't have a tag. It says, the Gemara says that you have to be mad and said, Shnayim Mikra, we have a tag, and the Gemara says, in Brachas, Afilo Atoras V'Divo. Even Atoras V'Divo in the names of the cities. That they conquered there in Ebra Yard. What does he mean? Afilo Atoras V'Divo. So Rashi says, Afilo Atoras V'Divo, that there is no Targum on it, the Targum is the same as the Chumash. So Rashi says, they say the Chumash three times. There's no Targum, there's nothing. They just say the words, the names, the places. Places have a time against Rashi. So why does he say Afilo Atoras V'Divo, which is in Bamidbar, which is Afilo Reuven and Shimon? Sukkim with Reuven and Shimon, names of people are found earlier in the Chumash. Why not say Afilu Reuven Shimon? The Tosfos gives a different shot. No, Punk Fakir from Rashi. That on Torah Svediva, there's no Targum Unkelus says nothing, but there's a Targum Yerushalmi on that Tosfos. So you should say the Targum Yerushalmi. So the Mefarshim say that that's the Machlek is Rashi and Tosfos. What if you have a Pasuk that has no Targum? Should you say the Pasuk a third time, or should you look for a different Targum? Should you say a Targum Yerushalmi? So Tosfos says that you should say the Targum Yerushalmi on Torah Svediva. What we have printed in the Targum Unkelus and Torah Svediva is not Unkelus. Rashi and Tosfos does something like that. But we have printed in Targum Unkelus the line from the Targum Yerushalmi. The Unkelus doesn't say anything. It just says Atoras V'Divin. So that's where they say from the Vilna Gaon, when your Mavis said, when you say Atoras V'Divin, you should read the Pasuk a third time and then say the Targum Unkelus. To be able to both Rashi Sheet and Tosfos Sheet. Rashi also says, Yat Yerzi Shnayim Bikurecha Targum with any Targum other than the Unkelus. So there's no, nothing gained to go say a Targum Yerushalmi. So you say the Pasuk a third time. And Tosfos says, no, you always should get a Targum. If there's nothing new in Targum Unkelus, go dig up another Targum. Go say Hirsch, Hertz. Go get an English translation, get a German translation, whatever. Get some other translation. You can be Erzstein. You can have a Targum with other translations as well. That's a Tosfos. Rashi holds nuts.
No,
it's like that.
You can do Rashi.
According to that Tosfos, right. You can do Rashi. Right. Rashi himself holds nuts. places kasha against Rashi, according to Rashi, that Atoros Pedima means that there's no targum. They just read the pasuk a third time. That is the targum. So places yes, why not say Reuven v'Shimon? Continue Reuven v'Shimon. So the Vilna Gaon has that teretz. He says Reuven v'Shimon is less of a chiddush. What's the idea of Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum? The Targum, the Mikra is a holy language. That's the Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is a holy language. Targum is a Goyish language. Lashon HaRamis is not Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara says in we don't say it's near Perakira. The Gemara says in the Ferish, the Targum Lashon is not considered Lashon HaKodesh. Let's say a person davens in Hebrew, he doesn't understand what he's davening, so the Mishnah Berurah says he's Yetzer. A guy davens in Aramaic and he doesn't know what he's davening, he's not Yetzer. Let's say a guy says Slichas of Piyutim, Toshma, whatever, Masik, Machaya Masik, Menes and Chaya. He doesn't know what the words are, so if he davens in Hebrew, as long as he knows generally what is a Tina or a Slicha, whether he's supposed to be happy or crying, as long as he knows what the general theme is, so it's okay. If it's in Aramaic or in Chinese and he doesn't understand that language, then it's garnished. Guy says Kaddish, let's say they walk in the shul to say Kaddish. They don't understand Aramaic, so it's nothing. You're not here to Aramaic, it's not Lashon HaKodesh. And the Shah of the Shani, if you don't understand it, the Hesed says, Lishki Davin, you're not talking. It's only a good language if you know what So what's the whole idea of saying Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, what do you need the Targum for? So the Vilna Gaon says, in order to be Malit with Gush, you say the Shnayim Mikra and the Lashon HaKodesh, then you say the Targum, to take a Dovah Shal Chol, it's not a Lashon HaKodesh, it's a Lashon Chol, and you machnes it into the Avodah Hashem, into Gush. So on Reuven v'Shimon, we understand you have to say the pasuk twice, then you have to say the targum twice. It happens that Reuven v'Shimon in translation is also Reuven v'Shimon. Begin, when you translate the name Begin to English, it's Begin. When you translate Herschel to English, it's Herschel. You don't say begin. Years ago, the news commentators used to make all of the foreign names into English. They used to mispronounce them all. Used to pronounce all of the names. And now they say it right. Now they say, if a Chinaman has a Chinese name, so they pronounce it the way they pronounce it. In China, there is no translation for a name. The name in translation is the same as the original. So that Rashi holds that you have to say Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, Reuven V'Shimon, Zot Gon Lagon, that's a double pashut. Avad, you have to say twice Reuven V'Shimon, Shnayim Mikra, third time Targum. In Targum, in translation, it's the same as in the original, so they say. But in Ataris Vediva are the names of the cities in Chutzlores, that they were Kovesh, and they gave them Kedushas Haaretz. So one might have thought that there's no need to say Targum over there, because when you read the Shnayim Mikra, you've already done that. You're reading the story that they took Chutzlores and made in Teretz Yisrael. So that's what the whole purpose of the Echad Targum is, to take Lashon Chol and to make it into Kedusha, to mal it into Kedusha. So there, Rashi learned that the Gemara says, Pshat, there Rashi holds that there would have been a Havamina, that there's no need to say the third time, or Reuven v'Shimon Avadi, you have to say a third time. But in Ataris Vediva, one would have thought there's no need to say the third time, because by saying the first two times, the Shnayim Mikra, you've already been yotzei this idea of taking Dvarim Shalchol and being ma'al of them into Inyanei Kedusha. So that's what Gemara says, the Chiddush. Even there, you also have to say the third time. But you have to say Davka Ataris Vediva, not a Targum Yerushalmi. Not a different Targum, you only say Targum Mukulis.
Tosis says that should say the
Targum. Yeah. You always have to find some Targum which adds something onto the Pasuk. So in that Pasuk where there is no Targum Unkala, the Targum Unkala just has the words of Torah Vedivon. So you should say the Targum Yerushalmi, which by now they have put into the text of Unkala. They put it into the line, but it's not really Unkala, that's really Targum Yerushalmi. So that's why the Vilna Gaon says when Yamabu said when Torah Vedivon, you should say the Pasuk three times, because of Rashi Shita, and then say what's printed in the Targum Unkala, that's really Targum Yerushalmi, to be Yetzi Tosis opinion. You have to dig up whatever time you can find.
What do you really accomplish in the third time?
What, in general?
No, I mean, how does that take the place of this?
The Vilna Gaon says, the Nimala, Tekdusha, every Lashon Shel Chol, that it should serve in for the purpose of learning that pasuk. Even though it's not adding on a pshat, it says it's a different inyan, not to give pshat in the pasuk. To be male, l'shama shalchol, to be most of kedushin in inyan echol. There is a famous piece from the Meshech Chochma this week said, you have to know exactly what it means. The pasuk says when it was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Ayyav Yankim Shalom Yerushchem, Vayichan as Pnei Huyir. What do you mean, Vayichan as Pnei Huyir? So the Medrash has a comment. Rashi says, "Erev Shabbos Hayah b'shulchan shel Arachol." Rashi quotes the Shulchan. Medrash Shabbos says, "Erev Shabbos, the din is on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tum. we talked about Yek the Ishma Kesef Beisel, so by Yekan has Pnei Ramin, there is kind of Shvisa there on the outskirts of the city. He made Erev Tchumen. He was Tordei away his Tchum Shabbos. So the Meshech Chachma has an interesting comment which has to be understood. He says, what should be the attitude and relationship of the Jews to the Umas HaOlam? So he says, you find Avraham Avinu, all the shikar is going to come in from the street, picks them all up, and he gives them meals, and he entertains them, he tells them to bench, NCSY stuff, Labanch, he's carrying everybody comes in. Yitzchak also is traveling around the place. Traveling has to do with a lot of goyim. He says that's because Avraham knew that his children, some of them are going to be Jewish, some are going to be goyim. Yitzchak, some are going to be Jewish, some are going to be goyim. Yitzchak didn't know which one. He knew Hashem told Avraham, be Yitzchak, he called Hazera. Only Yitzchak and not Yishmael. Then be Yitzchak, will I call Yitzchak? So which part of Yitzchak is going to be yes and no? So Yitzchak didn't know. So he thought he was going to be Esav, but the son turned out he's going to be Yankov. But Yankov was Mikasa Shlema. All of his children were Jewish. So he didn't have to have any shaykhs with the grain anymore. So the Meshech Chachma says, he made Erevei Tchumen. He already made like an ostrich. He's going to stay away from all the grain. It has nothing to do with himself. He has enough work to do with his own family, with his own children. Until that time, until the Yud Beis Shvat and Uhu Amdu, until they were established, then the others were working with the Umas HaOlam that they should try to get them closer to their Munah in the Kelah. But after the time that the Shvat were established, then he says there's no longer any need to work with the Umas. We work on ourselves. We don't have to work for them. It doesn't mean you don't work with the Yah. It doesn't mean that you don't have to work with the non-observant Jews. They're still in the Yiddish Amach. Doesn't mean that you don't disassociate completely with the non-religious Jews. It means that we no longer have the task that Avraham Yitzchak had, that they have to work with the Messiah. It doesn't mean that we don't have a hashpo on the Messiah. No, the Pasuk says, or la goyim v'satir, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to be a light unto the goyim. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. That's his ultimate plan. That's derech agav. We don't have to consciously make an effort to try to have hashpo on the Messiah. We'll have hashpo. No, that's the Rebbeinu Shlom will see what happens. We should work on our own. It's an interesting comment. That when Yaakov Avinu came and he had the Yud Beis Shvatim, so the whole Avodas Hashem had a different direction. Everything changed from there. Erevei Tchumen means I'm self-contained. I don't go out to the outside anymore. So the Meshech Chachma says he thinks that that's what the Medrash is driving at over here. Not so much that it was Erev Shabbos and made it Chums, he figured out where his Chum is and he extended Erev Chumim. It means that he stayed all week long, he stayed self-contained within himself. He wasn't Yesim in Kaima. He had this Tchina of Chumim all year long, not just on Shabbos and Yom.
In other words, like,
by Avraham, you see. Nefesh Asher Asa B'chon, Avraham was Megayer Esan Hashem, Mitzorah Megayer Esan Hashem. And then it says by Yitzchok, it says by Yeshiv Yitzchok, the Eretz, Kinnam, the Eretz, Megure Yaviv, so the Medrash is Megure Yaviv, he was Megayer also. Yitzchok was Megayer just like Avraham was Megayer. Yankiv, you don't find that Yankiv went out on a campaign to be Megayer. And as man as that, we don't Megayer. For Kev, the Gemara says in Yivonis, when a Goy comes and this guy try to dissuade him, try to convince him that he should stay a Goy, let him become a Gertosh. And he said, let him become a nice, good Gertosh, what do you have to become yourself? Why don't we do like Avraham and Yitzchok? So the answer is because when Yaakov came along and the Yud Beis Shvatim were established, everything is finished as far as we're concerned. So we don't need the Yom Asylum anymore. So let them figure out what they're going to do on their own. They're not after writing for them. Whatever Kedushas Yisrael he had, it seems that he was Megaya then.
We know whatever happened to him.
Don't know.
But yes.
Don't know. The Mefarshim assume that it means Kipshuto. I think we mentioned the Shas Maisha. The Ravid says that when you have when a Ger goes to his Gaya and he's Tevel and Mikvah, the Gemara says that he recites a Bracha. The Gemara himself and Zayin. But the Ger recites a Bracha. She could have shown him and associated with Sivanu ala Tfilah. What happens if the Ger Katan, let's say I'm adopting a non-Jewish child, and I convert the child, so the Gemara says, Ger Katan mat bilam oso adaz bez. So is any Bracha, let's say it's a little baby, 1 year old, doesn't know how to say any Bracha. So does the Bezin recite a bracha when they're Megayer the baby? So the Ravid has a chiddush in Bala Anef, and says the Bezin says the bracha. So the Ravid asks on himself, well, where is there a mitzvah in Bezin that they should be Megayer? So he says, we derive it from this parasha, Nefesh HaShavasa B'choron, see that Avram in the Medrash says, how could he create people? He made human beings. It's impossible. Even if all the rivers of them get together, they're unable to create even a little yid or shef. They can't create a little fly or a little buff. It must be that Gershon is got caught in Shanaro Dami. He was Megayer the Anashim. Sarah is Megayer the Anashim. And that's considered Asheros B'chorim. So the writer says from the fact that the Torah found it worthwhile to write this in the Chumash, and that is Asheros B'chorim, you see that there is such a mitzvah. Except in the days of Avraham and Yitzchak, the mitzvah was to go out and try to get them to convert. As far as that, there's no mitzvah to go look for them. The mitzvah is if you have a situation where a nochri wants to be Megayer, and it's the mitzvah on the bezin to be mishtatif in the gates, to help them become a gift. No mitzvah to look for them. But it proves in this parsha that there exists such a mitzvah. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably Arab they went to Harsinai. Then they need them. If they want Harsinai, they want the guy. Then they're not needed. Whatever happened before Harsinai doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened to them. All matters whoever was at Harsinai, the Arab brothers, whoever was the guy later. The people who were the guy before, if it's the Kushis Israel, wasn't necessarily going for this forever. Just like in any case of the doctor of the Shlosha Pan, whenever I do a split on the head of anybody else, the person finds out about it. It's the time of his bar mitzvah. The first time they tell him that's his bar mitzvah, that he was converted to the guy in him, that he says he doesn't work, and he breaks up the gear. I don't know. Wasn't the guy then?
Didn't he say
that's a shverik parsha. Why did he make them all be malim? I don't know. But his brother shouldn't feel awkward. He wasn't really interested. I don't know if he was interested in being the guy. I think he just wanted that they shouldn't make fun of his brothers. That they had milo. That he said that that's the best thing. Medically, it's recommended. I don't know. Otherwise, it's a shverik parsha. Why did he want to be malim all the what are we up to in the Gemara? Just to know where we're going to start. Let's read one line. Abyeisiyem haseni nera. Nei shehu kimua. Shazog the Gemara. Ay v'holoi asrubei. But there was no hasrua. How can you give misa to reseya without hasrua? So the Gemara, this is not the regular Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafto, the famous Rabbi Yosi. These are different Rabbi Yosi. Shazog the Gemara. Masdik Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yudin. It's another Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, we have a Braisa. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yudin. Chov rein et zah hasrua. Chov amid atal mit chocham. If I know that he's a major anyway, then there's no need for Hasra. I think Mara says Reb Shimon on it. Shimon says in the Mishnah, well, it depends. Yesh Soni Shagola, Yesh Soni Shainagola, is that called? Koshi Yochalam the Das Harak. If a Soni killed somebody else, the Shogeg, but it could be that it was really amazing, and it made it look like an accident, then Ainagola, then we assume that it was amazing. But there was no Hasra either, so you're not going to kill him. Shagola Das Harak, but if it's obvious and clear, that it was really an accident, and it's not shy to assume that the Sony made it look like an accident, then the entire race that goes. Says Mark Tanya, says in the Bryce of Kate Solomon of Shinon, Yay Senegovi Senegovi, that depends. If Nifstak, he was holding on to a Hevel, and the Hevel is Nifstak, is of gold. It's obviously not his fault that the Hevel broke. How is he going to know that it's going to break? But if it's Nishmak, holding on to a Hevel, and he dropped it, then he says, oh, it was a mistake, it was an accident, I dropped it. But since if he would have held on tighter, it wouldn't have fallen. And I say Enagola because it looks like it would have been made. Turn my kasha, but it says Fakir. But Tanya Rav Shimon has the other Enagola that she shall machzolam yadoi. Rav Shimon is speaking now not about the same Rav Shimon by Yichoy, the same time Rav Shimon. It says in the Braisa that you never go, not a naive, not a sinner, you never go that she shall machzolam yadoi. If you're still holding on to part of the kli and another part of it fell off, then you're not gola. Only if you drop the whole thing. As she shall machzolam yadoi. So how do we say before that Nifsek is gola? And Nishmat is Ein Gola. So the Gemara says, Kasha Nifsaka Nifsaka, Kasha Nishmata Nishma. There's a double contradiction. And the second Brisa of Shimon says, if you drop the whole thing, then you are Gola. And the first Brisa says, drop the whole thing, you're not Gola. And the second Brisa, he says, Dafka, if you drop the whole thing, they're still holding on to half, and the other half fell, then you're not Gola. No one's Gola. The first Brisa says, you dropped half of it, holding onto it, and it broke. Nipsak Yuago, it's a double steer. Kasha Nipsak Nipsak, Kasha Nishpat Nishpat, Zog the Gemara. No, we have a teretz on both kashas. So the way we have the gears in the Gemara, Rashi says it doesn't read straight, doesn't make any sense. The Rashi rereads the gears. What does the Bach say? Teve Seyla Mechukai. He crosses out the whole line and he says, you look at Rashi. Rashi has a whole different gears. How does Rashi say? Rashi says he got it from the gears of Sagoidim, from the Chuvah Sagoidim. And the gears of Sasvarim Shabesha see. The way we have printed in our text doesn't read straight. How does Rashi say? The kasha nishmata nishma, that's no kasha. The second verse is quoted in the name of Shimon. Nishmat is gola. The first verse says nishmat is gola. That's no kasha. Hobi yohib hobi sonif. If he's a sonif, then he says nishmat is any gola. Because we're afraid that he did it amazing. We're choisha that he did it amazing. But if he's a nohib or neutral, he didn't know who in the world the other guy was, then he is gola. Aye, but there's a stira nifsak and nifsak, and the second price of Reb Shimon says nifsak is never gola, and the first price says that nifsak is gola. Not only biohid, even bistonic, both are gola. That's taka contradiction. But that's still, there's a teretz and that also, like kasha. Ha Rebbe, ha Rabban. What do you mean Rebbe Rabban? Who is Rebbe in relationship to Reb Shimon? How is Rebbe related to Reb Shimon? Tosis said that he was a Talmud. How does Tosis know that Rebbe was a Talmud of Reb Shimon? Rabbi Tivega says, "Kid Easter B'Shabbat Daf Chukmem Zayin and Beis." It must be the Ferish. Rabbi says, "Shahino LeMeidin Torah Eitzel Reb Shimon Bit Tarkoa." When he learned the Reb Shimon's yeshiva, and Reb Shimon Bayechoy's yeshiva in the city Tarkoa, they used to take the bath on Shabbos and they carry the towel. The whole story they want to describe what they did there. When they used to go swimming on Shabbos, they went to a convention on Shabbos and went swimming on Shabbos. And they should take him over. He held you a lot, and they carried the towels. And there's no Easter. All story. So Rebbe was a Talmud of Reb Shimon. So when Reb Shimon said the Shir, there was a problem over here. What's the din nifsak? That's machlekes Rebbe and the Rabbanon. What's the din if he's chopping wood and he's holding onto the hatchet, then part of the hatchet falls off? That was machlekes on the previous daf. On daf two daf ago, daf zayin on base. Nishma taparz on mikat of the horak. Rebbe yamer eni goyle v'chamam on goyle. So the same machlekes there. If you're holding on and part of it flies away, is that called curb blurriness or not? So the same machlokes would be over here. He's holding on to the chevel, and the chevel is nifsak b'yemtza. So do you say that that's korav lo'enes and his enev gerla or not? So that's machlokes Rebbe and Rabbanan. So these two opinions, Rebbe and Rabbanan, are reflected in the two brises that they quote Reb Shimon as saying two different things. So Rebbe learned from Reb Shimon. He says Reb Shimon said one way. The other time I learned from Reb Shimon, they say Reb Shimon said the other way. The two versions of what Reb Shimon said. That's the other machlokes, right? There are two machlokes in Rebbe and Rabbanan. One machlokes is he's holding onto the hatchet and part of the metal flies off on the hatchet. Is that called korav lo'enes? That is more than ever discussed before. That's the same machlokes over here, nifsak. And then the other machlokes is what we more discussed. What if he hits the wood and then the wood flies out and he kills him? That's machlokes of korav perfect. So the korav perfect is chayiv on us. But this machlokes is the machlokes in korav lo'enes. Okay, Blineta, next week we'll start from here.